What is the thirstiest you've ever been? Can you think of a time when you were like extremely thirsty or dehydrated? Like a few weeks back, I made the mistake of showing up to basketball without my water bottle. Now, this is a problem because Adam can attest I run around like crazy, probably more than I need to. And so by the end of the first game, I was thirsty. My mask was soaked in sweat, and I was trying to play through, but I knew that this was going to be miserable. And after a while, your body just starts to, your muscles start to feel heavy, you feel fatigued, you have a hard time. Like, I was struggling through this night. When suddenly, my neighbor noticed that I didn't have anything to drink, and he tossed me an extra Powerade that he had grabbed on his way to basketball. I was in trouble without that because I didn't have a cup or anything. The drinking fountains were disabled. I couldn't get water from a sink. And so I could feel that dizziness that's coming. But my neighbor saved me. And I can't tell you how refreshing that first drink felt. You know that one, that first cool drink you get maybe after you're done mowing the lawn in the summertime and you're hot and you're thirsty and you just need something cool. And it's like this wave of refreshing wave just flows over your entire body. You can feel that surge. I think that's how this woman feels in this conversation with Jesus. Suddenly, she is hit by a refreshing realization, like a rush of water rejuvenating her soul. She leaves her jar behind and she forgets what it was that brought her to the well in the first place. And she returns to the very people that she was trying to avoid, the very people that had excluded her from the community. And she says to them, "Come and see the one who told me everything I did." Now, I don't know if they want to come and see because they want to find out about other life or what the deal is, but it raises the curiosity that suddenly this woman is coming back all excited, and so they come out to see Jesus. Come and see the one who sees me. Now, when the disciples returned, they were surprised to see that Jesus was talking to this woman. Why was he doing this? Doesn't he know the consequences? But Jesus wasn't concerned about his reputation or meeting his own needs. Instead, he insisted on doing the will of the one who sent them. It was his mission that led him to Samaria, and he would continue with the mission that God had called him to. And looking at those coming to him, he says to his disciples, "Look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest." Anybody remember where Jesus was when he said this? He's in Samaria, right? He's not in Jerusalem. He's not surrounded by a bunch of Jews. He has a bunch of Samaritans running out to him, and he says to his disciples, "Look, the harvest is ripe. The fields are ripe for the harvest." And Jesus stayed there, it says, for 2 days. In a place where he had to go, a place where others would have simply passed by and through, a place that others would have avoided altogether, he stays there with the Samaritans and he ministers to them. Now think about what might would have happened if Jesus would have only seen the reputation of this woman. What would have happened if they would have failed to see the need, the eagerness, the hunger the Samaritans had? And it makes me wonder, do we have eyes like Jesus to see the harvest that's right in front of us? Or do we only see the negative? You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we get so focused on the fact that we aren't in Jerusalem anymore that we miss it. Here in America, we like to gripe about how the world is changing, right? And all the things that are different now than what they were not long ago. And yes, it's hard to watch the moral fabric of our nation deteriorate, but you know something? I think the fields are ripe for the harvest. I see people who are hungry. I see people who are hurting. I see people who are thirsting for something more. And we aren't going to find satisfaction in things like drugs or alcohol or sex or wealth or entertainment or all the things that we try to fill our lives with. Because only Jesus offers that life-changing, life-giving drink that we need. And that is what we as a church, as Christians, as a community need to offer. A Jesus who sees us, a Jesus who risks everything for us. So the Samaritan woman leaves her jar behind because she found the one who could refresh her soul. Come and see the one who sees me, she says. And many Samaritans came to Jesus and believed because of her testimony, and even more believed because of his words. You know, maybe you're here today and you feel like that Samaritan woman. You are tired of the reputations others have given you. You are tired of feeling cast out. You are tired of the guilt and the shame that leads you to isolation, that has driven you to a well that only leaves you feeling empty inside and cannot satisfy. But like the woman Jesus encountered at the well, I want you to know, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. He knows what you have been through. He knows your past. He knows your future. And he has already risked it all and has given it for you. The grace that Jesus showed the Samaritan woman changed her life that day. It changed her story. The outcast now becomes the one to cast out an invitation to come and see Jesus. To come and see. And if that woman in the story represents you today, then I just want to invite you to meet Jesus here in this place, to meet him at the well, to come before him now, to not leave this moment without asking Jesus to come and quench my thirst, to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, my soul longs for you. I want to know your love. I want to know your peace. I want to belong to you. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I place my trust in you. You know, maybe you're here today, and like the disciples, Jesus is asking you to take a look at the harvest fields, to take a look at the fields around you. They are ripe for the harvest. Do you see it? Do you see the ones that Jesus has called you to serve? Do you see those around you who are thirsty? And if so, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, give me eyes to see, that I may serve the ones you are calling home. Lord Jesus, give me eyes to look past my prejudices, to look past the stereotypes, to look past the judgments, and to see others through the eyes of your love. You know, I might not be the best basketball player on the court, that's for certain, but I am grateful for those who really see me and know me, because they are the kind of people that can pull the best out of us, aren't they? We need people to see us for who we are and for who we can become. But even more than that, I hope that when others see me, they actually see me for who I am and not the type of player I am or am not. I hope that when others look at me, they can see Jesus in all that I do, and the way I live, and the way I work, and even the way I play. Because we all long to be seen for who we are. And so come and see the one who sees me. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this story. This is a story that is meaningful to us because so many times we do fall away. And we wonder, God, why on earth would you care about someone even like me? Someone at times who might be the Samaritan woman at the well. Someone who might be driven to guilt and shame and isolation. So God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We pray that you do your work in us. Lord, we pray that you do your work in us as your disciples, as your followers, as your church, as your community here, that we may do all we can so that others may see you in us. Give us eyes for the harvest. Help us to see others through your love, through your grace, through your forgiveness, and not the prejudices we hold. We pray for all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.